all been raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars. But we won't. We're slowly learning that fact. And we're very, very pissed off. Yeah.
First week of September. I have not been up to very much, but everybody else over here at the house, the home household, has. Let's see, quick recap of what's been going on. The kid has started public school, and this is a huge change from the, I don't know, 60 person private school that she was going to. And adjustment has been hard. And certainly having to get teachers to make accommodations for her dyslexia has also been a challenge. Oh, but first, let's take a listen to this week's musical guest, Chaim.
I'll see who I wanna see. I'll fuck off whenever I want.
Now, these, if you don't know the band, it's spelled H-A-I-M, and they are three sisters, and they play, you know, all the instruments, they all sing, you know, whatever. And I heard an interview with them on Jesse Thorne's podcast, and Bullseye, and I was like, you know, I one of the songs that they played in the podcast was what sealed the deal for me, but we'll get to that in a second, or in 15 minutes when that song shows up. Public school. Well, I have to say one of my favorite things about public school is that it is significantly cheaper than private school, meaning it is free, and private school is the opposite of free. So, and it came at a good time because my job, when I started, they said, hey, here's some stock, and every quarter for the next 3 years will give you more stock. So you'll stick around, right? Okay, great. And then fast forward to about, it was a year ago. We got bought and we got taken private, and then that means that we no longer get stock because there is no stock to get, because when you're a private company, you're no longer listed on the stock market. So they said, okay, you know, we promised a lot of people stock that still should be receiving stock. And so we'll tell you what, we'll give you cash for the equivalent of, you know, the stock you would have been getting. Okay, fine. So then, right at the same time that Ayla is done with private school, my stock money runs out. And there were a lot of people at work who were kind of raising their hands saying, like, what else are we doing? Because now we all got pay cuts, right? We signed on with the idea that, oh, you know, sure, we're gonna get this stock you promised us over the next 3 years. But typically what happens is companies will then promise you more, you know, so you'll stick around. But that isn't happening. The overlords are kind of like, well, we just spent, you know, billions of dollars, billions with a B, buying you. We really don't want to spend any more money than that. It's really interesting because there are people within the company, in the higher ups, who are like, you know, because it keeps coming up, right? Every all hands meeting, there's always somebody that's like, hey man, what about like the stock that we should be getting and we're not? And, you know, our HR person, the head of HR, she was like, ugh, we've gone over this before, and somebody in the Slack channel kind of said, no, you haven't. Like, you've said, like, oh, we're planning something or we're trying to get something together, but you've never really said what that is. And the answer is, and I know what the answer is, there is no more money, right? You get your salary, and that's that. You might be able to get a raise or not. Who knows? Whatever. It is what it is. But there are some people who, I mean, God love them. They haven't been beaten down by life like I have, where I'm just, you know, quietly just resigned to the fact that it's like, oh, yeah, yeah, no, there's no more money. This is it. But when I want you, I want you all over me. Okay, and look, speaking of work, so we have this project going on where I have to learn a new system. Okay, that's fine. I've learned plenty of new systems. This system that I'm learning does not go live for another 6 months. But then somebody got a bug up their ass and was like, well, we need to start developing things in this new system. Now, the things they need to develop are monitoring, right? So when all the systems are up and running, you want to make sure they're up and running, and you want to make sure you get alerted, you know, if something goes wrong or a customer screws up or whatever. But really, like, even if day one of this system going live and it's not there, okay, well, we'll get it in there. I mean, it's more of a nice to have than a have to have, but okay. But still, that's 6 months in the future. Why do we have to have this now? Like, why is it so important we get this done now? And okay, and I'll spare you the other political details of this whole thing. But so I was thrust into this arena of like, well, you got to learn this system now, and you got to take all of these alerts that were active in this one system and then bring them over into the new one. And it's like, and so they gave me this deadline, and I really thought I could hit it. And then I was like, God, they seemed really adamant about this. So then I started working nights and weekends, and I was not doing well emotionally. And then during this whole time, Miriam is off presenting her sand tray psychology case study to the sand tray world conference in Amsterdam. And she's having stroop waffles and taking tours and getting to live her dream. And meanwhile, I'm like, managing second day of school onward, because Miriam was there for the first day of school and then promptly left. Not like she planned it that way. It's just the way things worked out. And now I am working nights and weekends and all of this, and managing drop off and pick up and learning a whole new school and all new teachers. And they've got this app that makes no fucking sense. And it's just like, I was not doing well. And so it reached a point where it was Sunday night before I was told them it would be all done Monday morning. And I just wrote our director this kind of long, drunken, rambling Slack message of like, well, here's where we at, man. I got like these done and these aren't still in process, and I can't finish this one. It's so close to being done, and I can't do it. I'm just broken. And I think that was enough to get them to get off my ass, because I think at this point they are concerned that I might quit. And if I quit, they are kind of fucked. And I think now, because of my emotional distress, they're backing off. And now everything's fine. I am doing just great. Because now the balance of power has shifted, right? Now I'm kind of the one who's like showing up to meetings and telling the integrators that what they're doing is wrong and nobody else is. That's my job. And without me, they're going to be in a lot of trouble. But before everything got good, Miriam was in Amsterdam for 10 days, right? So 5 of those days is the conference. 5 of those days is, you know, cruising around Amsterdam and, you know, wherever, seeing sights, doing stuff. And I had been, you know, trying to clean here and there, clean as I go, whatever. And we have these cleaning people that come on Wednesday. Now, I hear what you're saying. Why do you need to clean if you have cleaning people? So the thing is that the cleaning people don't do dishes. So that was kind of my thing, was I was trying to, you know, I couldn't say stay ahead of it because I definitely wasn't doing that, but I was trying to keep up, you know, and, you know, not let it get out of fucking control where there's just, you know, dishes on top of dishes. So I would do dishes just to take a break from work from time to time. And I had forgotten that the cleaning people were coming on Wednesday, right? So when the cleaning people are here, I lock myself in the office and let them do their thing for a variety of reasons. But anyway, so that's what happened. And I forgot they had come. And one of the things that the cleaning people do is they take, a lot of things they have to use the sink for. And, you know, like they've got buckets that they have to fill with water and it's kind of the only place to do that. And I'm talking about the kitchen sink. And there was a lot of stuff in the kitchen sink. I had not been great about, you know, keeping up with my dishes. So rather than knock on the office door and say like, hey man, we are having trouble because we can't get into the sink. We don't know what to do with these dirty dishes. What can we do? No. They didn't do that. God forbid they do that. Instead, they rat me out to Miriam. They take pictures and send her texts like, we can't clean because the sink is full. You know, fuck you. The sink was not full. It had some stuff in it, but it wasn't full. And how dare you rat me out? Come on, man. Just knock on the door. You know, I let you people in. You know where I am. You know what I'm doing. So then, the day after that, I talked to Miriam. And now Miriam's all bent out of shape because she thinks the cleaning people didn't do anything because how could they? Because the sink was full. And, you know, she's getting texts, you know, 8,000 miles away. She doesn't know what the real deal is. She doesn't know that I've been working nights and weekends. And holy shit, did I lose? I lost my shit all over her. Because she gave me like a couple of, you know, little jabs about the kitchen being messy. And I was like, you know what? I'm pretty good about not engaging with drama. Like, you want to take some shots at me? Okay, that's fine. I'll just let them go because nothing can be gained by me, you know, trying to fight you on it or whatever. And then she gave me a third shot. And that's when I was like, you do not have any idea what I have been dealing with. You want to know why that kitchen was messy? It's because I've been working nights, I've been working weekends, I've been trying to get this dumb thing done and pushed live and all this. And she was like, sorry, I didn't know. And I told her, I was like, look, even in the best of situations, I don't want to be shit on for the kitchen being messy, all right? So, yeah, needless to say, things have not been going great. Until, of course, I got to have my little emotional breakdown at work over Slack, and now things are fine. Miriam is also not here, of course. I always do this when Miriam's not here. She is off running the Disney half marathon with Ayla. Ayla, of course, is not running the half marathon. Ayla ran the 6K. So it's like 3 miles. And she completed it. She got up at the crack of dawn and she did it. Of course, now her feet are hurting like hell and they have to walk around Disney. But that's all right. Miriam spent the $50 and got her a scooter. Okay, so this is the song. This is the song that made me buy this album. And this song is called Take Me Back. And what I like about this song is it is all about recollections from youth. And it's funny because the chorus is Take Me Back, like they want to go back to this. But you listen to the verses, and the verses sound fucking horrible. They don't sound like a good time. It's like people like doing drugs, but like not having a good experience with them, not having a good drug trip, and it's just a mess. But anyway, I like that kind of song. I like that kind of movie, like the whole you can never go home again kind of thing. Ugh, I'm a sap for it. So anyway, so that's why I like this song and this album. So look, that's it. That's the bummer stuff. So the other thing I wanted to talk about are the movies I've been watching lately. Some of them have been kind of bummers. Bummers because they're just not good. And I wanted them to be so good. Oh, I wanted them to be good. Of course, Clark and I have already discussed Superman. And I agree with his assessment, which is it's fine. It's a fine movie. I love James Gunn. He did all the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, and I think they're really great. He did Creature Commandos, which is an animated series on HBO that I really loved. And I just thought, oh, this is gonna be fantastic. This is the guy who, oh, and Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad is amazing. I have seen it, I think, 3 times now. I love that movie so much. But Superman, now look, I'm gonna cut Mr. Gunn some super slack because he's a guy who just is having trouble. First of all, he is now in charge of the entire DC Comics cinematic universe. Now, normally when that happens, like what Kevin Feige does at Marvel, it means, I oversee some projects, I look at the scripts, I give notes, it's things like that. James Gunn, on the other hand, was like, nope, I'm gonna write everything, I'm gonna direct everything, I'm gonna be the guy on everything. So that means Creature Commandos, Superman, Peacemaker Season 2. And it's pretty obvious that he did not have as much time with any of them as he should have. Creature Commandos is really good, but Superman, it's a lot of talking. It's not a lot of action. There's a lot of characters in it that I'm just like, it seems like my friend Christopher Drum, the guy who lives in Tokyo, he put it best to say, like, he just didn't know what to do with them, right? Mr. Terrific is terrific in the movie. But everybody else, Green Lantern, Hawkgirl, is just sort of like, I don't know. I don't know what to do with these guys. Just, what are they? The Lanterns are some of the most powerful creatures in all of DC Comics. And it just seems like he doesn't know what to do with them. Like, kind of at the end of the movie, you see a little bit of that power, but it's just sort of like, eh. So it was really disappointing. But I've been hearing some interviews with Gunn post-release of Superman, and I think he's getting the message. I think he's, because he says in interviews, he says, it was hard on me. It was hard on my family. Like, it was rough on everybody that I was so constantly working. Ooh, we got a theme. We got a theme going. Constantly working is hard on your family and it's hard on you, and you don't notice that it's hard on you until you have a psychotic break. Wow, I never thought I'd have anything in common with James Gunn. This is not really the thing I was hoping to have in common. I was hoping to have in common, like, super talented and earning a lot of money. I was kind of hoping for that. Oh well, take it. A win's a win, right? It's hard to love you right. It's hard to love you. Okay, so then last night, so whenever Miriam's out of town, I'm always like, oh, you know what I want to do? I want to watch a movie. Because I never watch a movie, and she never wants to watch a movie, and it's so hard to watch a movie. Oh my God. The last night she was here, we watched My Favorite Wife, starring Cary Grant. Oh boy. You know, it had gotten such a great score on Rotten Tomatoes, gotten great scores everywhere. But boy, howdy, it's not great. Like, I love Philadelphia Story. I love The Shop Around the Corner. Like, I love those Cary Grant, Arsenic and Old Lace. I love those Cary Grant era comedies. And usually they're great. But this one, nah, not great. There's a couple of things in it that are really cool. There's a lean Cary Grant does that I've never seen anybody do, where he just plants his feet, and as the elevator door closes, he leans with the elevator door because he's now seeing his dead, what he thought was his dead wife, show up at the hotel he's staying at. And it's such an amazing, like, physically, it is an amazing use of body control, because I don't think there were that many special effects, you know, back in 50 whatever, 58, I think it is. Disappointing. So anyway, so the movie I chose was the Tim Robinson movie Friendship. And this was, again, just like Superman, a movie that people had been raving over. Oh my God, it's so good. Tim Robinson in an out, you know, because Tim Robinson, for those of you who have not seen I Think You Should Leave, it's okay. I think it's a little hit and miss. It's a sketch show, so none of the sketches are longer than like 7 minutes. But that's fine, you know. But the problem with the movie Friendship is it is essentially I Think You Should Leave, but in, you know, an hour and a half format, and it's like a shitty sketch. It's like one of his misses in the hits and misses columns. It's a miss, and it's a miss for 90 minutes. Well, I don't know if it's a miss for 90 minutes. I turned it off after 30 minutes, and I was just like, yeah, I can't do this anymore. It's just, and when I paused it at 30 minutes, I was convinced an hour had gone by, and I was like, nope, can't do it. I'm out. So it's unfortunate. I think he's a good guy. I think some of the sketches on I Think You Should Leave are really funny. but this one didn't work out. So instead, I watched the latest season of Rick and Morty, now streaming on HBO Max. Now, for those of you who know me, which is all of you, because we don't have strangers listening to this thing, I love a good bad movie. And if, so the latest good bad movie is War of the Worlds, currently rated at 3% on Rotten Tomatoes. And oh, let me tell you, it earned every single one of those percentage points. Oh my God, this movie, you know, it's sad. This movie, I think, could have been decent. The big problem with the movie, of course, is that, so it's typical War of the Worlds. You know, we've seen it, you know, done many times before, but the big tripod aliens come to Earth and start blowing shit up, right? So this time they are here to eat our data. And I don't know why. It's unclear as to why they're here. Like, what do they do with the data? Do they need the data to exist, to thrive? If that is the case, then that kind of says that there is a whole universe of planets that also, I don't know, process and express data in the same way we do. It doesn't matter. Don't think too much about it. So the way they suck up the data is they just have these long tentacle arms that just jam into server rooms in buildings, and then these little bugs kind of run off of their arms and then run into the computer. Boy, saying it out loud really does sound super insane. It runs into the servers and then they just eat the data, I guess. Oh boy. But as bananas as that premise is, there's two other things that are even more bananas. One is, it turns out, and I would like to say this is a spoiler, but of course you can't spoil a bad movie. It turns out these aliens have been coming to Earth for like the last 70 years, but the government has been managing to cover it up. Now, I don't understand what data they were eating in 1949. Was it just, I don't know, like paper? Like what data? I mean, there weren't hard drives. There weren't digital content in 1949. So what data are they eating? Or maybe not. Maybe it was just a scouting mission, right? Because it kind of looks like there was only one alien in 1949, and then we managed to kill it, and then that was fine. So maybe they were just seeing if we had data. Okay, sure, whatever. But the biggest problem with this movie is Ice Cube. Ice Cube is the lead of the movie. And he, now mind you, this movie was shot during COVID, and they did some interesting things, right? Like the idea of Ice Cube being in an office, alone in an office, and kind of running, you know, being able to tap into surveillance cameras in various locations. You know, it allowed to get around sort of COVID protocols during lockdown, and oh my God, so much B-roll, so much stuff that was already shot, you know, 20 years ago of storms and planes and, you know, whatever. And then there's a lot of effect stuff, which, you know, God love you, you can do at home now, so cool. But the real problem is Ice Cube's acting. It is, if the man did not look at one single word of the script before he showed up to shoot this. The aliens eat the data. Ice Cube is the opposite. He is repellent to data. Memorizing words of any kind, not in it. So every single delivery of Ice Cube's is, what? No, wait, get out of there. It's almost like someone was just like, had an earpiece, they call it an earwig, in his ear, just saying like, get out of there. Go. No. No! Get out of there! Hey! You know. And again, he is one of these guys, just like San Andreas, where his job is to protect the country, and instead of doing his job, he's just spying on his family. Because that's his job, right? He's to spy on people, but he wants to spy on his family instead. Which is like, yeah, but... You know, he does like 15 seconds of actual work, and then the rest of the time he's just like, hey, you shouldn't be eating a muffin. You're pregnant. You should have protein. Where's the protein in that muffin? Dad. And that's the other thing. This is the other thing about why, like, I listen to the podcast, How Did This Get Made? And they were very kind to Ice Cube's shitty acting. And I am not going to cut Ice Cube slack, because everybody else in this movie is doing a decent job. Everybody else in this movie is like they're in the same boat as Cube, right? Like they're in a room, they're isolated from other actors, they don't have anybody to interact with or get reactions to or play off of, but they're doing the work. They memorized their lines. They knew what they had to do. Not Ice Cube. He's just doing it for the paycheck. But I had a lot of fun watching it because it is so delightfully awful. Okay, so that's a fun bad movie. Now, let's talk about the good stuff. The best thing I have seen in a long time is the Hulu FX series Alien Earth. Now, I enjoy the Alien franchise. And by franchise, I mean the first four movies, the ones with Sigourney Weaver in it. They have made other ones after that that are absolute dog shit. Just the worst fucking movies. I have never seen anybody just try and destroy a franchise that they created. And that being Ridley Scott. Ridley Scott has directed the most recent one, but the two before that, Prometheus and Covenant. Those were his movies, and he directed the very, very first one. And these most recent movies are just fucking terrible. And it's almost like he hates that Alien exists and he just wants to ruin the franchise. I mean, say what you want about George Lucas and his treatment of the prequels in Star Wars. This is worse. Covenant and Prometheus are way, way worse. And not only are they worse in terms of just being a bad movie, but Covenant comes after Prometheus. And it's almost like Ridley Scott did not see Prometheus. It's because he does things that absolutely contradict Prometheus in Covenant. And I'm just like, what? Did you not watch that other movie? Did you not make that other movie? I mean, you should have just watched it before you made Covenant just to make sure there was some continuity. No. But Alien Earth is amazing. Even if you are a casual Alien fan, and I think you have to kind of understand the Alien universe a little bit, but what it's so great about this is that the guy who makes it, who made it, is the same guy who adapted Fargo for a TV series, which was also really great. You know, originally a movie, which I love that movie, and then he adapted it as a TV series, also an FX series. He's great. And what he has done in the Alien universe is to expand it and Ridley Scott not contradict it. Everything that he talks about and does perfectly works within the Alien universe and enhances it rather than trying to like sort of tear it down. Well, so go watch it. Go watch Alien Earth. It's 8 episodes. They just released, as of this recording, episode 5. New episodes come out on Wednesday every week. I love that show so much. Okay, well, from me, from the music of Bright Brown and Haim, go watch Alien Earth. And then let's do this one more time. Till then!